Over 20 years ago, in the community at which I was then living, we had a vacation Bible school sponsored by most all the churches in town. It's in the town park. And there, we put up tents. I know they didn't look like probably what tents looked like back in 29 AD, which was the name of the curriculum we used. But the intent was to sort of dress up and imagine what it was like when Jesus walked the earth. Now, because I was a little less gray then and a little thinner, they had me portray Jesus. And I remember the day when I led the children, and there was a whole gob of them following me, because this was the pattern. Every day Jesus would walk through, and the children would be like the disciples following. And we walked up to a certain tree, and up in that tree was a short fellow. You know who that was. And you heard the story that we enacted. When Zacchaeus came down and made his pronouncement, you know, about giving back, the children cheered. They were so glad. And, you know, it probably didn't help that he had a bag full of goodies that he was presenting. But they really got into it. And, of course, I know they knew that this wasn't, you know, AD 29. This wasn't Jericho. This was a park in Greencastle, Pennsylvania. But they imagined. And they got into the spirit of it. A wonderful story. As so many in the Bible, there is more here than we could pull out. And in fact, we can bring to the story so many things. Now, whether we are drawing out of or reading into sometimes is a problem. But what I would like to suggest for today is that we explore this story through the lens of fear. It's Halloween, right? A day we have learned when fear, it's okay to address our fears. So I might ask, what in this story were the characters in it afraid of? Let's begin with a fellow by the name of Zacchaeus. Now, I'm sure we could, and probably have down through the years, taught and preached many sermons on Zacchaeus, reading in a lot of things into this short fellow. And I got to tell you that when it says there that he was short in stature, it wasn't talking about his character. It was just talking about his size and the reason why he had to climb up that tree, because he couldn't see over the heads of everybody else. And I'm sure I've preached some sermons where I talked about, you know, this fellow who approached life as a short person and probably, you know, maybe got into a profession where he became a much bigger man because of his connections with the powers that be. And that may be the case. But that may be also reading into the text. But I wonder, what was Zacchaeus afraid of? Was Zacchaeus afraid of anything? Was Zacchaeus like so many persons who kind of stand outside this disciple thing we call church and look in? No doubt Zacchaeus was aware. I don't think Jericho was all that big a town. It wasn't as big a town as back in the day when a certain other persons marched around the town and blew their horns and yelled, and what happened? The walls came tumbling down. It's a much smaller place in those days. Perhaps a place where everybody knew everybody. Maybe Zacchaeus knew things that people didn't often say about themselves. You know, today we talk about people outside the church, and when they look at the church, what do they see? A bunch of hypocrites. Well, the truth is, yeah, the church is filled with a bunch of hypocrites, but we're people, we are sinners like everybody else, and that's the truth. We are sinners in need of God. We have, like everybody else, if you want to put it into another framework, we have an addiction to sin, just like everybody else. And like everybody else, we are needing to turn to God. I wonder if Zacchaeus, though, was afraid. Was he afraid of Jesus? Okay, this is the preacher standing up here, not Jesus. But if I went out there and pointed to one of you and said, okay, today I am coming to your house, what would be your response? Yeah, got to go clean. Yeah. What does home represent for many of us? It's the place where we can be who we are. You know, we sometimes say it's our castle, but I'm not sure that's as much the case anymore. It's where we let our hair down. And Jesus were to come to your house today, would that be a threat or a promise? Would that make you scared or glad? What are we afraid of? Are we afraid of God? Was Zacchaeus afraid? I mean, as I read the story and as I listen to it, I don't hear all that much fear. I mean, he got out on a limb just to be able to see Jesus, and certainly if he was afraid of Jesus, he wouldn't climb a tree. And yet, I imagine when Jesus said, come on down, there might have been a moment. Did you hear it? Jesus said, come down immediately. And immediately, Zacchaeus did. You know, there is a, in his response to Jesus, there are some words we don't know exactly how to take. There's ways we have taken them traditionally, and it's in his response where he says, and to use, I was using the Revised Standard Version, the Revised Standard says, where he says, look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much. It's like a promise. It's a response. And, you know, this is sort of like a repentance type of thing where he is recognizing his sin if seen in this way. But, you know, the word I will give is actually didomai in the Greek, which is I am giving. And where it says, I will give back, the second time it is apodidomai. I am giving back. And so we are sort of left to wonder whether he is truly making a step in the right direction or if he is self-justifying himself. Similar to another rich man who came to Jesus asking, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus went through the law, thou shalt do this and this and not do that and whatever. And the man says, well, I've done that since my birth. And then Jesus said to him, well, go give all that you possess to the poor and come and follow. And that man went away, this rich man, went away empty. You're sort of wondering here, and I think the text is intentionally vague here. I mean, we are so tempted to think he has made a true step of repentance, but that may be still up in the air. I do know that the children back in that town park, when they cheered, I'd like to be cheering with them and see that this is in the present tense and not the future tense, I will, but I am. that his bag at that moment was opening, like his heart, maybe. And he was releasing and stepping into new life. But Scripture is a little bit on the edge on that. Was it or was it not? Just like a lot of other parts of Scripture that are up in the air, the Scriptures that we need to complete on our own as we live these Scriptures out in our own lives. Well, I've raised some questions about Zacchaeus, but what about everybody else? Did you notice the reaction of the people in the town when Jesus said to Zacchaeus, "Come down, I'm going to your house today"? How did they respond? Yeah, how could you, Jesus? You're going to that scumbag's house. What were they afraid of? Were they afraid? I think they were. See, when it comes to reaching out to other people, to recognizing other people, we need to deal with our fears. What are we afraid of? What would we be afraid of if somebody whom we recognized as a scumbag stepped forward? Would we reach out to that person? What are we afraid of? What are we afraid of? Now, I mentioned this minister's group that I'm a part of, and in our study of fear, we sort of explored a variety of ways of dealing with fear that we have. And two of the ones that are more common are either we seek to avoid our fears, to hold them at arm's length. And you can avoid fears, by the way, through trying to conquer them. You know, we're ignoring them. Sometimes when people say you conquer your fears, you're not even recognizing them. I don't have any fears. I'm fearless. Are we? Sometimes that's holding fears at arm's length. But there's another way of dealing with fear that is almost holding it too tightly and embracing it. But there is a third way of dealing with fear, a way that maybe Jesus models for us. Not of casting it out and trying to keep it at arm's length or holding it close, but rather learning from it, mining it, if you will, to see what might be there and to gain from our fears, through our fears, what God is seeking to give to us. Because God is very much a part of the process. This scripture is very appropriate for Reformation Sunday because it speaks to the graciousness of God and Jesus Christ and how even before we are conscious or even before we make any step in God's direction, God reaches out to us. And then when it comes right down to it, it is not really dependent upon our own efforts to turn to God, that God first loves us. That we are loved and cared for. And God reaches out to us and Jesus says, "I am coming to your house." And that is a good thing. Before we even can make a step in God's direction. So, and our steps are but a response. Our steps in God's direction do not earn God's love, but rather they are but a response to it. So what is your response? Are you still out on a limb? Are you still up a tree? Well then, my friends, if you are, then hear the voice of Jesus say, "Come down. I'm coming to your place today." Amen.